Next, how many? You don't have to raise your hands on this one. How many of you read at least? Don't raise your hand. Just look or just cut your eye or something. And everybody's looking at you. How many of you read at least one of the worship scriptures last week, which was 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 15, Revelation 5, 11 through 14, or Revelation 7, 9 through 12? Don't look at, don't raise your hand. All right. Just think about that. How many of you did that? How many of you made time to read at least one proverb? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Just don't raise your hand. This past week. Remember, the Proverbs are replacing the horror, H-O-R-R-O-R, the horoscope, the fortune cookie, and for those of you, the super lotto. We know it's up to about 650 million now. be careful. Even if you win the money, remember, it doesn't solve all the problems. You still need to be saved. Your soul still needs to be saved. Amen. So, but the Proverbs replace that because you're not trusting in a super lotto, you're trusting in God. All right, last how many? How many of you at least thought about coming to Bible study? Or you at least, don't raise your hand. At least thought about coming to Bible study on Wednesday night. All right, just think about it. Remember, it's just once. Don't come every Wednesday. You should, but you don't have to. I mean, that's a lot of pressure. It is. It's a lot of pressure. Only reason I come every Wednesday because I have to. All right? Okay. Just kidding. I thought that would get you, Sister Tara. But, no, it's really a blessing, though. Of course, I have to be here because I'm teaching it unless I'm out of town or something. But I know it's hard. You got family. School has started back. You got work. You got this. But at least think about it and pray for us as we're praying for you. And then at least once a month, Wednesday night, come on out. Hey, thank you for the one amen. Thank you. All right. I think we need to pray, all right? Bow your heads. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time together, Lord. Speak to us through your word, Lord. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through this dark, dying, decaying, fallen, broken world. God, help us, Lord. My God, thank you for your word because it tells us what to do, what not to do, where to go, what to think, what not to think, how to live, how to give, how to forgive. It covers everything. Speak to us now, Lord, through your word. We need you today more than ever. God, speak to our hearts. We need you today more than ever. So much going on in our world today. Give us clarity. Give us direction. Through your word, we ask it now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so here we go. I did say Revelation 22 and 5. Amen? Amen. We're going to be all over the place. And then thank you all who came out to the picnic, our day in the park yesterday. It was really great, very well put together, very well prepared. So many people worked together to make it happen. It is a pretty big event, and I see some people haven't recovered from it. It was that big, okay? But just your hard work is appreciated. And then just the family hanging out gives us a chance just to kick back and relax. And thank you all, too, for praying for my family. And I got my sister and my niece and my mom and my great nieces and nephews here. And we all had a tough day, a beautiful day, celebrating the homegoing of our cousin, Sonia. And so thank you for your prayers. And it was a beautiful but tough day yesterday for us. But we thank God for the strength to get through it, and God was glorified. His name was lifted up. She was born again. She had accepted Christ at an early age, and she was living for Christ now, which makes it a lot easier when you have a service like that. Amen? All right, so here we go. Let's jump into the word. So we're talking about the brilliance of God. In verse 22:5, and is God enough? Think about this. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle or no lights or no lamps or no cell phone lights or nothing like that. Neither light of the sun. Think about that. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So just think about that. Make a note. We've already talked about how God is water in verse 1. He's water. Verse 2, he's life through the tree of life. And nothing special about the water, nothing special about the tree. It was a life that Christ gave. Now we see that he's light. We know that God is love. So make a note all that God is. So there we have no need of the sun because it's always bright. And look how, folks, you have to be careful because right now they got this. Everybody's all excited and in a roar because of the this solar eclipse that's coming where it's, I think it's tomorrow. And it's, the moon is going to pass by the sun. It's going to be dark and millions of people, they're all excited and all that. And but that's the S-U-N, not the S-O-N, because nothing will ever eclipse the S-O-N. Make a note of that. Nothing's going to block out Jesus. Nothing's going to block out this light. It's not going to be dark. And the world would get us so excited about the creation and not the creator. Be careful. It's always a ploy to distract you from the creator. You got people out there worshiping the sun and worshiping the creation and not the creator. Amen. So when you get a chance and they're talking about it on your job or wherever, say, man, I was reading in Revelation 5:22-5 that Jesus would never be blocked out, would never be eclipsed. That's how brilliant he is. But then you got to ask yourself, is that enough? I need more than that. I got to make something up. Got to make a solar eclipse or a lunar eclipse. But this happens to be a solar eclipse. Then it flows right into verse 6. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. Okay, make a note. God's word can be trusted. Faithful is trusted and it's real. Make a note. God's word is faithful, it's trusted, and it's real. It's the opposite of counterfeit and imaginary. There's a lot of things out there that's counterfeit and imaginary. But God's word can be trusted and it is real. I don't know of many other things that can be trusted 100% of the time. If you do, let me know. You can, something that can be trusted 100% of the time. Throughout eternity, rain or shine, hot or cold, young or old, God is, can be trusted and God is real. So as I'm studying this, verse 6, and he said unto me, these things are trusted, can be trusted and they're real. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel. We're going to talk about the angel in just a minute. But when we talk about the holy prophets, it sent us to Isaiah 55:6. Actually, it sent us to Isaiah 55:11. But, you know, I got to make a long story longer. So, Natalie, let's go to Isaiah 55:6. So we put it in the proper context. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Amen. It's a great message for a great word for today's society. So much falling apart. Seek God. Go after God. Run to God now while he can be found. Don't wait. Go after God now. Next one, Natalie. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So we're talking actions, we're talking thoughts. Just think about how many chances God gives us, how many opportunities God gives us to say, hey, come on back home. I'm here for you. I never left you. Yes. He will abundantly pardon. He will overwhelmingly bless and loving kindly bless and forgive. So calls action on our part and the unrighteous man, his thoughts, because men, and that's mankind, but men and women, we know it all starts in the mind. It starts with a thought. Before we do anything good, bad, or ugly, it all starts with your mind. Your mind got to tell your body what to do. Sometimes your body tries to tell your mind what to do, but it starts in the mind. So it deals with our thoughts. God's there. Okay, let's keep going because I'm trying to get to verse 11. Uh-oh. It's for our intellects out there. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Don't get it twisted, family. We don't think like God. Why we can't figure God out? God, I would like to know this out. God say, don't even try. Your head would explode. We don't think on the same level. We don't act on the same level. Why would God do this? Why would God do that? Don't worry about it. God sees so much more than we could ever see. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, said the Lord. Next one, Natalie. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's why we surrender, we submit to God, because we're not on the same level. You have a world who wants to take God out of everything, and look what we have now. A bunch of confusion and a big mess. Because we get so smart, we want to, our thoughts say, hey, we don't need God anymore. God say, you're not on my level. We take God out of school, we take him out of the Boy Scout pledge, out of the Girl Scout pledge, take him out of the walls of Congress. We don't want God anywhere, and now we have a godless society, and all we got is hate everywhere. That's what happens when you get so smart that you think you don't need God. God said, you're not on my level. Next one, Natalie. And this is a comparison, though. This is where God talks about... He talks about his word to the prophets. He says, and it's a comparison with the next verse, and you'll see it. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and return not there, but watereth the earth. Now he shifts. God has shifts. And now he's talking about watering. We said like this, one man plants, one man waters, but God gives the increase. Now God has shifted. Now he's taken a physical example and going to show a spiritual example, a comparison. So rain comes down, snow comes down. It doesn't return, but it waters the earth and make it bring forth fruit or bring forth bud. All right. For those of you who used to deal with bud, it's not talking about that kind of bud. All right. God provides bud. It says it's in the Bible. Come on now. So it's the only scripture those cats know in jail. This is the only one. And the other one where in Genesis where it talks about God brought forth the herb. It's the only one they want to quote. None of the other stuff. They won't go to the other ones that came before this. They'll just take it just right out of context. We got buds and we got seed, okay? Don't get distracted. That it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Amen? So God, and then take it to the next one, Natalie, so we can see how God's talking about his word. This is what he's saying. This is where it goes back to God is can be trusted and God is real. God is saying, just like that happens, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It's not going to return unto me empty, but just like the water and the snow is going to water, is going to accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it to. You can be confident that God's word is trusted and it's real. God said the word, his word that's written, his word that goes forth out of his mouth, it's not going to come back empty. Just like when the rain comes down, when the snow comes down, it's going to water something. So keep praying for your family members. Keep praying for your kids. Keep praying for your grandkids. Keep praying for your siblings, your co-workers. Pray the word over them. That's why we should go to that scripture and we're worshiping, because God is the greatness and he's the victory and he's the majesty. He's the power. And he says, if his word goes out, it's not going to come back empty. Make a note. It can be trusted and it's real. The opposite of counterfeit and imaginary. Make a note of Isaiah 55:11. When you're praying for someone, find scriptures. Pray the scriptures over their life. Pray the scriptures over your life. Over your business, over your ministry, over your job, over your kids, over your grandkids. But is God enough? All right, now let's go back to Revelation. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants. We talked about servants last week, the angel, the messenger to show unto those, his bondservants, his slaves, the things which must be done shortly, which are the things that's going to take place. Make a note, underline servants, because we all are serving something. Either I'm serving myself, I'm serving my job, I'm serving my spouse, I'm serving my kids, I'm serving money, I'm serving fortune, fame, we're all serving something. So don't be offended because, like I said last week, and the connotation, especially for African Americans, serving and slaves, it just has a bad connotation to it. But right here is good when you're a slave for God, the one who really cares for you and loves for you, died on that cross for you so you could be set free. You're going to be a slave to something. Trust me. We all are a slave to something. Might as well be God. He'd better off if it's God. He said he sent this angel, and this word angel, it has a different connotation to it. This is a messenger. God sent his messenger to show, just like he sent him to the holy prophets, so we would know that God's word doesn't return void. But now he sent us to his messenger. And I used to wonder this. I would go to different, you know, they have pastor appreciations, and they would come in and say to the angel of this house, going, what is that about, man? Ain't no angel in this house. But it's just the messenger. But God says it. Look at Revelation 2. Let's go to Revelation 2 and 1. He talks about to the angel of this house. He's talking about the church. He's talking about the pastor. Not an angel with wings, but a messenger. And then God comes and speaks to the angel. Oh, I want to be an angel. I want to be. No, you don't. Because God, he didn't come speak to the people. He came and spoke to the pastor. Oh, God. See, I have to give an account for how I led the flock that he gave me. He's not going to come and talk to y'all. He's going to come and talk to me about it. If I'm faking and shaking and I'm just here for the different message of a motive behind a motive behind a motive behind a motive. God knows all that. God comes right to the pastor and says, I need to talk to you. Oh, okay, nobody want to be a pastor now, huh? Yeah, I know. Y'all just walk out. All right, pastor, have a good day, God. We're out of here. You're on your own, pastor. I got it. I know. Hey, it's a tough seat to sit in. He's talking to the church now. He says, unto the angel, to the messenger of the church of Ephesus, write these things, said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the middle of the church, the seven churches. So how would you treat each other? Or how should we be treating each other if we know that God is walking right in the middle of the church and checking things out? Would it make a difference of how you speak to each other, how you would forgive and love if you know that Christ is right in the middle of everything that you and I do when we're in church? And since the church is in us, then everywhere we go, Christ is there. Oh, that's a tough one. I know. But God is right in the middle of everything we do. And yes, every little detail counts. We've learned that as we've been going through the Old Testament. God is specific. Make a note. God is specific and detailed. So he walks in the middle of the church and he says, I know your works. Oh, wow. He comes to the church and says, I know what you do, and I know why you do everything that you do. I know why you go to that convalescent home. I know why you give that food away. I know what you do with the tithes and offerings once you get them. I know everything that's going on. I know why you come to church. I know why you don't come to church. I know your works. I know how you treat your kids. I know how you get up here and preach the word, and I know how you treat your spouse at home. Wow, Lord, you know that much? I know how you get up here and preach. I know how you get up here and come and sit, and I know how you treat your spouse at home, and I know how you treat your kids at home, and I know what you do with your coworkers and what you don't do. God says, I know your works. Amen. That's good, because there's stuff we do for people that nobody knows about but God. God says, what you do in secret, I reward you openly. Says, what you do in secret, I reward you openly. But he also says, your sin will find you out. It's the good news and the bad news. It's stuff that you've done for people that nobody knows about. And it's between you and God. And just know that God knows your works. The sacrifices you make, God knows your works. He says, I know your labor and your patience. Somebody say amen. Amen. And how you can't stand them which are evil. Somebody say amen. Amen. says, I know that, God. I say, you know, and how you have tested them, which say they are apostles and they are not, and has found them out to be liars. God said, I know that you're doing your diligence. So you test those spirits. We know there's plenty of false prophets. Make a note. Be careful who you listen to. If they don't line up with the word, then you know they're not a prophet of God. Test the spirits. Ladies, when that man approaches you and starts talking to you, you better stop and you better test that spirit. And see what are they really about and if they're going to be found out to be liars. And you don't know that until you just spend some time and go through that process with them. But you know, when they first approach you, test the spirit. Men, when that young lady walks up, test the spirit. Don't just look at what she's wearing or what she's not wearing. Or how much she's not wearing. Test the spirit. Make a note, people come into your life for two reasons. To help you reach your full potential in God, or to remove you so far from God that you will never find your way back home to God. Two reasons. There's no other reason somebody comes into your life. Let me go over it again. People come into your life for two reasons. To help you reach your full potential in God, or to remove you so far from God that you will never find your way back to God. And that's it. If somebody knows another reason why somebody comes in your life, let me know. It's the only reason, so that's why you got to test the spirit. Is this one of God or is it of the devil? Okay, this is verse 3. It's getting ready to get a little deeper. All right. And you have persevered. Somebody say amen, because y'all know, boy, never would have made it. Somebody say amen. Still don't know how we made it. God said, we've persevered and you have patience. And for my name's sake, you have labored and you haven't passed out. You haven't given up. You haven't been taken out. For his name's sake, you're still holding on just because of, for God's name's sake only. Because if it was just for man or society, I'm tapping out. I'm telling you now. I would have tapped out a long time ago. God said, you persevered. You got patience. And y'all know that's, hey, that's, he could be talking to every parent in here. Amen. Do we have to go through my kid joke? How many of you have kids? How many of you ever seen a kid? Persevered. I know my mom persevered with 8 kids. Somebody say amen. Amen. I ain't gonna even tell you the stuff we told mom that happened after we were grown. But and had patience, and for God's name's sake. And she hasn't fainted yet. Probably close. Several times. And for those, like I said, every parent can relate. We love our kids. But we've patient and persevered and haven't fainted. Close. So God says, you're doing all that, but nevertheless, in verse 4. I love God because God knows everything. And look how God built them up. He said, you're doing some good things. Keep doing it. Family, keep doing what you're doing for God. But then God said, nevertheless, I have something against you because you've left your first love. God said, we used to walk and hold hands in the park. You used to come pick me up. You wouldn't just honk the horn. You'd come to the door. Now you just come honk the horn. If I ain't ready, you leave. God said, you've forgotten all about me. Used to pay my way into the movies and everything. Now you don't even. First, you ask how much money you got. We're going out. How much money? Can we go out tonight? How much money you got? Well, you know, okay, no, we're not going. God said, you've forgotten your first love. Has anybody ever had someone that you love walked out on them? Isn't that something? You ain't got to raise your hand. Just think about it now. Have you ever had someone you love walk out on you? Man, and this is what God is saying for us. I say, I loved you, and we used to talk, you used to worship. See, that's why it's so important, family. Well, how do we fall back in love? That's why we worship God. That's why we read the word. That's why we meditate. That's why we spend time with God. How do you fall back in love? By spending time with God. God said, you got saved, you used to tell everybody about me and how much you love me. Now I can't even find you. We don't even talk anymore. You don't have time for me. You chasing all other type of stuff. God said, that's the only thing. You're doing some good stuff, but you don't love me no more. Do you know you could be in the church? You could be in the church working for God, but don't love God. You could be in the church preaching for God, giving the word, but don't love God. Say no, pastor. No, you could be in a relationship with someone, living with them, and don't love them. You're just tolerating them, but it ain't no love there. You can still do stuff, this, that, the other, but it ain't no love there. That's what God is saying. You've left your first love. Brother Tommy, hit the air conditioning for us, because it's getting a little warm. And then when it gets cold, it's a bipolar air conditioning. It is. It gets real cold, then it gets real hot. So we just have to work with it, amen? Amen. It's got to work with people where they are. We got to work with the air conditioning where it's at. So look at four. Look at four again. God says, I see everything that you're doing. We're talking about it's talking to the messenger, talking to the angel, talking to the church. It says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. The only thing I have against you is you've left your first love. God is saying, we used to dance together. We used to talk every day, all day, especially mornings and night. You go to bed with me on your mind. Now you go to bed with all other kind of stuff on your mind. Remember, the title of this message, too, is God Enough. God is scratching his head, saying, as much as and you would walk out on me? For that? This is what God is telling somebody. Wait, God said, wait. You mean you walking out on me for that? For him? God said, you got to be kidding me. Him? Her? That? That's the only thing I got against you. You've let something else replace me. Then God goes to verse 5. He says, remember, therefore, from where you are fallen. Remember how far I've brought you from. Ain't nobody else did you like God's done you. Nobody else has forgiven you. No one else has saved you. No one has rescued you from death, hell, sin, and the grave. God say, remember all the stuff you were in. Remember how far you've come from. And you're going to leave me for that? God scratching his head. When nobody else was there for you, I was always there. What you couldn't do for yourself, I did for you. When you didn't want me there, I was still there. I said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, but you walked out on me. Remember, therefore, from whence you are fallen, and repent. God said, here's another chance. Remember, he said in Isaiah, God said, I'm giving you another chance. God is always leaving space for us to come back to him. Amen. And repent and do your first works. Fall back in love with God. Start praying. Start fasting. Start reading. Start running to God and not from God. Or so I'll come to you quickly and remove the church out of this place, except you repent. Now he's talking to the angel of the house. He's talking to the pastor. The church is hearing what he's saying. He said, man, you got to get it. You better get it together. Otherwise, I'll shut it down. If you don't repent. Family, everything I'm asking you to do is what I hold, the same standard I hold to myself. I will never ask you to do anything that I wouldn't do in the Lord. Read, study, pray, fast. That's why we don't go on 21-day fast, because I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to send y'all on the 3-day, 7-day fast and then pastor y'all and catch me at In-N-Out Burger or something. I can't do that. I can't do that to y'all. Because that's how it would be. Yeah, I'm at In-N-Out Burger. I'm at Panda Express or somewhere and y'all fasting. So I ain't going to do that. But I know I can get up every morning before I have my first meal and I can pray and fast. So I'm going to ask you to do that. Amen. I know I can find these scriptures and I can read them and meditate on them and pray and worship God. I have my worship music going on and I can do that. I know I can ask for forgiveness and repent and get my mind right. As Isaiah said, get your mind right. I know I can do that. So I'm asking you to do that. Remember, God is not looking for perfection. God is looking for a connection. We have to stay connected to God. Don't get disconnected from God. I shared at the service yesterday, just briefly. You're not going to live a life disconnected from God and then automatically get connected to God once you die. That's not going to happen. It doesn't happen that way. We can't fool ourselves. Thinking that if I'm living disconnected and I die, I'm automatically connected. No, you're not. You got to stay connected while you're here through the thick and thin. You have to persevere. And God said, fall back in love with me. Verse 6. Let me wrap this up. And we'll finish somewhat early today, I think. But this thou hast that I hate. But this thou hast that thou hate the deeds of Nicholas. Nicolantis, which I also hate. Make a note. The mature Christians, we hate what God hates and we love what God loves. If God hates it, and if you don't know what God hates, that's in Proverbs 6:16. Oh, wow. Yeah, let's go there just briefly. So it's no confusion, because everybody's talking about how much God is a God of love, which we know. Nobody wants to talk about the stuff that God hates. And God said, but this is one cool thing that you're doing. The stuff that you hate, I hate as well. Did I say Proverbs 6:16? Make a note. Because people always say, well, you know, God is love. If you love God, you should be loving. No, that's not. Read the whole Bible. God is holy. God loves things. But God said in verse Natalie 6:16. He says there's 6 things he hates and the 7th thing, he just can't stand it. God told the church, this is one cool thing that you're doing. You hate that stuff that Nicolantis is doing. He was way out. And God said, and I hate that too. Proud look, the pride. God hates the pride. Why? Because Satan was prideful and got kicked out. So every time we puffed up with pride, we're just reflecting the other guy. Remember, he told him in 8, John 8, that you are of your father, the devil. I know that's a hard word, but that's what the devil is. He's somebody's father. Remember, make a note. We are all creation of God, but we're not all children of God. If Jesus told him you have your father, the devil, then I can't say we are God's children, because I'm not a child of the devil. I used to be until I got saved. Amen. Somebody keep it real. You don't want to hear that, but your father was a devil. So that's where the pride comes from. That's why God, the first thing he hates is pride. Because Satan always tries to get us with pride. Growing up in the neighborhood, you couldn't even look at someone. Man, what you looking at? Where does it don't get much more prideful than that. I came in, I'm just trying to get, okay, I walk with my head up. What you looking at?
Yeah.
You got beef? Are we going to have a meal or something? I mean, what are we, you going to take me out to dinner? No, you got beef, man. Oh, man, anyway, I can't get in all that. But that's where the pride, it starts. That's why God, man, I hate that proud. The God said, I hate that. And after that, the lying tongue. So you gotta, so don't let people just tell you that God is love. No, God hates the pride. And he hates that lying tongue and in the hands that shed innocent blood. I don't just say that hundreds of thousands of babies can be killed a day and God's okay with that. I don't know nothing more innocent than a baby. And you talk about hands that shed innocent blood or a drive-by or all that kind of stuff. God hates that stuff. God's not cool with anything getting killed. This is the word. A heart that devises, a heart that plans wicked stuff. You just sit back and you planning and you plot and you scheming. God said, that's coming out of you. God says, I hate that. And I'm glad we turned here. We can't keep fooling ourselves. And you got to discern that. That's why he said when people come, you got to discern that. Discern what these apostles are about. Discern, he found them out to be liars. Because they're all into this kind of stuff. When people are into this kind of stuff and talking about you looking and you observe and they say they love God and they're doing this and they work and this is them. No, it's not. Don't be uneducated on God's word. A heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift and are running to trouble. You the first one there. Talking about God sent me. No, he didn't. No, he didn't send you over there. You can't be the first one running into trouble. You guys all remember the fights on the schoolyard. Everybody running there. Some people coming to jump in. God said, I hate that kind of stuff. A false witness that speaks lies is different from a liar. A liar's lying about everything. That lying tongue's lying about everything. But the false witness says, I saw you there and you did it. You lying on people. God said, I hate that kind of, I hate the people like that. A false witness that speaks lies. You'll lie on anybody in a minute. God says, I hate that. And then the last thing which he really hates are those that sow discord among the brethren. Instead of you trying to bring people together, you gossiping, you backbiting, you conniving and keeping people further apart. God says, I hate that. I really hate that kind of stuff. Because God is about unity. God is about peace. God is about love. That's why God hates this kind of stuff, because it doesn't promote unity and peace and love. It just promotes evil and reflects the God of this world, which is Satan. So let me finish. Let's go back to Revelation 2. So here we go. Let's close it out like this. Let's go back to verse 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Make a note again, mature Christians, and we just read it in Proverbs 6 and 16. Mature Christians hate what God hates and love what God loves. Let's all try and step our game up to that mature Christian level. And then let's finish with verse 7. And here is God saying, those that have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. Remember that word here means let him discern. God says, every situation, discern. Remember, God speaks in every situation. You make sure you're not just listening. Make sure you are hearing. Make sure you are discerning. What's the motive behind the motive? What is God saying in this situation? I have a decision to make, but what is God saying? I don't just want to listen. I want to hear. I want to discern what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That is so beautiful. Make a note. That's when we eat from the tree of life. We're in the midst of paradise with God. So it means that we overcome, we stick with God through it all. Okay, let me say it again. That means we overcome. It means that we stick with God through it all.
Amen.
We don't turn our back on God.
Amen.
We fall back in love with our first love.
Yes, yes.
We transition. We're in the presence of God.
Yes, yes.
God said, go eat from that tree of life. We don't have to worry. The curse, he already told us in 22, the curse is gone. Now you can live forever. We didn't want to live forever with sin in our life. That would be miserable. But now we've transitioned. God said, come on with me in the midst of paradise. Paradise was several different meanings. It meant heaven, it meant future happiness. Remember when Jesus was crucified, it was two thieves on each side. One said, if you're God, why don't you come down and save yourself? The other one said, man, you know, this dude is innocent. And then he said, God, remember me when you come into your kingdom. God said, today, this day, you should be with me in paradise. It's a beautiful thing. And we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's a place of paradise. Abraham was in God's bosom. Hear what he's saying. He said, we got to overcome. We got to get through it. We got to stay focused. We have to stay diligent. So make a note, those of you that are taking notes. But even in the midst of that, is God enough? And this is what we'll pick up next week. Amen. And let us just have a quick word of prayer, and then we will be out of here. Wow, what a challenge. Lord, thank you for this day. Book of Isaiah told us to get our actions and our mind right. Went on to say, God's thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways are not our ways. We are not on God's level. Lord, we humbly submit to you and your word and your way. Forgive us, Lord, for even thinking if we were on your level, that we could figure out where you're trying to move and where you're trying to go. God, we can't. All we can do is humbly submit and overcome. We endure with patience, with love, with kindness, loving what you love and hating what you hate. So word says that you can be trusted and you're real. You are not counterfeit and imaginary. You are trusted and real. But is that enough for us? The light, the love, the water, the bread, you're the door, you're the true vine. Is that enough for us? God, forgive us of our sins. You said if we humble ourselves and pray and seek your face, thank you for a second chance. You said all we have to do is repent, turn away from the wickedness, turn away from the evil, fall back in love with you. You said, hey, I'm here for you. Thank you for another chance to get it right. Thank you that you're not looking for perfection, but you're looking for connection. Thank you that you love us so much that you would be real with us and say, you're doing great, but hold up. There's a few things that you got to get right. And the first one is you got to fall back in love with me. God says, don't tolerate me. Fall back in love with me. Don't leave me for that. Are you kidding? So we love you, Lord. We do ask for your forgiveness and we receive it. We know that there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not the flesh. We don't have to walk around feeling condemned or guilty. You've forgiven us and you've removing our sins as far as the east is from the west, never to remember them anymore. You've told us that we're more than conquerors, and that if God is for us, who can be against us? So we thank you, Lord, as we come back to you. Let us hate what you hate. The proud look, the lying tongue, the hands that shed innocent blood, the feet running to mischief, the heart that just sits back and thinks of lies and conniving and schemes. False witness that speak lies, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for gossiping and trying to tear people apart when we should have been bringing them together in Christ. And we thank you, Lord. We consider it done because that's your word. It doesn't return void, but it accomplished what you sent it out to do. Thank you for the power of your word, the realness of your word. Maybe someone's here saying, Lord, I need to give my heart and life to Jesus Christ today. If that's you, elevate your hand. You've never accepted Jesus Christ and you want today to be that day. Elevate your hand. Or maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I just need to rededicate. I have left my first love. I didn't even realize it. I was sliding so far away. It was just seemed natural. But now I realize I'm not in love with God like I used to be. And I want to rededicate today and make a commitment to get closer to God. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home. You've been visiting and you haven't made it official. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family. We'd love you to help you find your method in God as you accomplish the purpose of making disciples and building God's kingdom here on earth. If that's you, elevate your hand. You're looking for a church home. Lord, we thank you and we bless you. And we love you, Lord. Give us the courage and the strength to fall back in love with you. Repent and come back home, especially in these last days. Don't let us get distracted with the counterfeit of the enemy. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed. Remember, the hospitality committee has, I think, snack packs.